All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to open in prayer. Is that all right? Good to see you. Father, I just thank you for the word that we have today, Father. Father, you had this Bible written. You had these words, these letters, Father, brought together in a book, Lord, for us, Father, and all the future generations, Lord, that we would have these as a firm foundation, Father, that we can trust and rely on what we read in this book, Lord. And Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit, that you dwell with us and in us, Lord. And Father, between the Word of God and you being within us, leading us through your inner witness, Lord, Father, we can fulfill the will of God for our lives on this earth. And Father, I ask you to open the eyes, the ears, and enlighten the hearts and the minds of everyone who can hear my voice today, Lord. That, Father, that as we speak about these things, Lord, your revelation will be like a fire that is lit inside of everyone, Lord Jesus. That your life, your wisdom is revealed to us, Lord. That as we walk on this earth, Father, we manifest the kingdom of God, Lord. And I trust you for this, and I believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, right? He is so good. It's nice to see everybody. Praise the Lord. Another Healing School service. Glory to God. Well, I want to talk to you today about healing. Is there any wonder? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Praise the Lord. And you know, I want to talk about the reality that God has made it so that we not only can receive healing, but that we're able to administer healing. Amen? And so if you got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and go through your Bibles with me today. And we're going to be talking about these things. So if you look at Matthew 6, and we'll just start right there. In 6:21. So if you got your Bibles out, grab Matthew 6:21 and let's begin. Matthew 6, verse 21. You know, we always go to 6:33, and we're going to start in 21 today. So Matthew 6 and verse 21. Are you with me? It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where your treasure is, what you find valuable, what I find valuable, what we find important is going to be where our heart is, right? Our heart's going to be there. And so whatever our heart is focused on, that's what we find valuable. That's where we say, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe. This gets my time and my attention. And so Jesus was telling them that where their heart, where their treasure is, that's where their attention's going to be also. So we'll ask ourselves this. What is it we find really valuable in our lives? What is it that we find that we want, that we do place our focus on, our attention on, the emphasis of our life on? Because that's our treasure. That's our reward. That's the value that we have. So we know that in Matthew 6:33, Jesus encourages them and says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And he meant that if we seek the kingdom of God first, then all these things are going to be added to us. So where we put our attention is what we find valuable, and he's telling us to put our attention on the kingdom of God and find that valuable first. So let's go ahead and look at some things in the Bible about how Jesus put his attention and how he encouraged other people on where their attention should be. And the whole reason I'm bringing this up is in healing school, and in other places where people want healing, I have found this to be the case, that a lot of us are looking for some man or woman of God that has the power of God operating through them, that just by their faith alone, they can minister to me and I can become healed. with no effort or revelation of my own necessarily. And people are very disappointed. And the Lord's placed it on my heart to help people to understand who we are because of what Jesus did. And in that, we can walk in divine health and minister healing to other people. Does that make sense? Right. So let's just go ahead and go on then. All right. So we got Matthew out of the way here. Let's go ahead and look in Galatians 5:25, if you'll do that with me. In Galatians 5, verse 25, Paul is talking to the Galatian church, and this is right after he talks about what the works of the flesh are and the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay? And here's what he says to them. First of all, he says, if we live in the Spirit, how many of y'all live in the Spirit? I live in the Spirit, right? That's where my life is. It's in the Spirit. It says, let us also walk in the Spirit. So does that mean that you can live in the Spirit and yet not walk in the Spirit? It must be true. Or he wouldn't say that. So there can be some of us who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We confess that we are born again and that we are heaven, but we may not actually be walking in the Spirit by the demonstration of that in our lives. And so Paul has been talking about what the fruit, what the works of the flesh are before this and what the fruit of the Spirit is, and that we should crucify our members on the earth. Because we live in the Spirit, now we need to also walk in the Spirit. So we need to put our flesh down. And I was talking to somebody this morning here. We have another Zoom group that we do, and we've been talking about fasting lately. And how many of you know, fasting is a great way to measure how much your flesh has authority over you. Amen? Who's leading? Is it my Spirit or is it my flesh? And fasting is a wonderful way to measure that. And the person I was talking to earlier today said that they finally got it. They finally got it that I can tell my body what to do and it has to obey me. That's bing, revelation knowledge, isn't it? Because I'll tell you what, how many times does our body tell us when we're tired, when we got to stop, when we need to eat, whatever. I don't like that, so I'm not going to go over there. It is in charge, but this person just got the revelation that they can tell their body what to do. So you and I also, having the Spirit of God inside of us, have the authority of God, and we need to walk in that authority in the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, go with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Just as a little side note, just that we can put this nail in the coffin, that we have this established in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's a verse that I use a lot, and it's just a real pivotal foundation verse that we need to get in our hearts when we are going throughout our lives. And it says, for he made him, Jesus, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? That we would become the righteousness of God. Okay? That we might become the righteousness of God. So we really need to get this switch. That was a switch. So in other words, now sin is not the focus. It's not the problem anymore. It's not the emphasis. And even in Hebrews, if you read, it says that since Jesus was the sacrifice for sin, we should not even be aware of sin anymore. We shouldn't even have a sin consciousness, right? We shouldn't even be conscious of sin anymore. It shouldn't be on our radar. It should be walking in the Spirit and in life. Okay? That right there is a huge revelation to some people that are trying to overcome some things in their flesh. Okay? But again, just because we hear these things does not mean that they're a reality that we're walking in right now. So I want to help you with some stuff where Jesus had to constantly redirect people. Okay? So I want to let you know, you're in a great company. Great company. Just like I'm in great company, because What we're going to go over today is common to all of us, and we all need to be reminded of it. And it is my belief that we come to the church and we assemble together, and even more that we're seeing the day approaching of the Lord's return, that we need to build each other up, remind each other, edify each other, and help us to keep our focus and perspective going in the right direction. Are you with me? Amen. All right, let's look at a couple of these things. Okay, so what I wrote here is having a kingdom perspective. We need to have a kingdom perspective, not just an earthly perspective. We are men and women, we are on the earth, but we have to have a kingdom perspective. And if you look in Acts 10:38, it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And we know the word anointing means to be smeared or rubbed with oil, right? Smeared or rubbed with oil. So God smeared and rubbed in the anointing of God by the Holy Spirit. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was what? With him. Amen. So praise the Lord. Jesus was anointed by God to heal people, and he was given the Spirit and the power to do that. Next verse, Luke 4:18. If y'all got your Bibles, go ahead and look at Luke 4:18. This is a gospel account of it. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's quoting from Isaiah, the New Testament writer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Isn't that great that Jesus was here? He's anointed by God. God was with him. He was commissioned by God, and he would go about doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil, right? And setting people free. For what purpose? For the kingdom of God, that we would know that the kingdom of God is with men. How many of you know that if, let me just back up this way. How many of y'all have ever tried to witness to somebody, and as you're witnessing to them, you're only using words? Did you ever have somebody that your words were not quite enough to convince them? But if you pray for them, and as you're praying for them, God gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, and then you start speaking over their lives, it's like, whoa, how did you know that stuff? All of a sudden, you got their attention with a word. Or you pray for them and tell that pain to get out of their body and it leaves. And then, whoa, now you got their attention. And you have to ask them that question is, well, how did this happen? How did you get healed just now? How did I know that about you just now? Because the words alone might not really convey what's necessary. But by operating in the Holy Spirit, that will persuade people, because that's something they can't do. They don't have those words of wisdom or words of knowledge. They don't have the gift of healing or the demonstration of the Spirit with power. And so when you come with that, God anointed Jesus, I believe, as an attention getter so that we can get our focus on the reality that the kingdom of God really has come to men. Because how many of you know, you don't know it by just sniffing the air. You don't know it by just looking around the room. It has to come by the Spirit. It has to come by perceiving by the Spirit. So Jesus ministered that to the people in the room or who were with him at that time. Here's another encouragement. Matthew 5:16. Again, we're talking about having a kingdom perspective when we live on this earth. Matthew 5:16. It's an awesome scripture. It says, "Let your light so shine before men." Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it wasn't only Jesus who was supposed to walk around and do good on the earth, but he said that we need to let our light shine, that men can see our good works. And when they can see our good works, bing, their light can go on. Amen? Amen. Let's go on a little further. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Rather than me just rattling on and telling you stories, that'll come. I want to give you a lot of scriptural foundation that we really do need to put our attention on the kingdom of God, because it's easily pulled off of the kingdom of God. So here we go. What verse did I just tell you? Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for" what? "Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should" what? "Walk in them." So there's no doubt that we were created for good works and that we should be walking in them. So I can probably think of a couple of Christians that don't believe that, believe it or not. But I'll tell you what, in healing school, we believe it. In healing school, we work this stuff out in our lives. We're not asking the 99. They're going to do what they're going to do. But the one, that's us that are in healing school, we are those people. That we realize that God has called us, that our light shines. My personal light shines. That the world can see the good works that I do or that you do. Amen? So we do have to do those good works. So in John 14:12, John 14:12, it says this. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." I got to get down one step right here. I love this verse. I got to tell you, I love this verse. Keep my heels up against the back so I stay on the stage. I love this verse. You know why? It lets me know that there's way, way, way more that I can be doing than I'm actually doing right now. When I look at my life and I look at this verse, he says, "Most assuredly." That's amen. In other words, bank on this. As a matter of fact, you can trust this. It's firm. This is absolute. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And Jesus went to the Father. So, keeping our attention on the kingdom of God rather than the things that's going on in our flesh, it is important to realize that anything that's limiting us from actually doing the things that Jesus did is coming from us. It's not coming from God. Anything that's limiting you and I from walking in these things is coming from me. And for you, it's coming from you. Because it says, "Who believes in me." And I guarantee you, everyone in healing school would raise their hand and say, "I believe in Jesus." Every one of us would say, "I believe in Jesus." And he says, "Most assuredly," absolutely. There's no doubt whatsoever. You can absolutely trust in this. It's firm. That you will be doing the works that Jesus did. Okay. Short circuit my brain just a little bit. But don't worry about it. You know, it's a progressive revelation and revealing by God. It's a stepping out in faith. It's a speaking words of healing and of confirmation of what the Bible says in our authority given to us by Jesus to step out and just do it. And it takes faith to do that, to just go do those works. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, it really blows my mind on the greater than these part. I'll tell you, I'm having a hard time just doing the same things he did, you know? Just everyone that came to him and touched him got healed. Isn't that crazy? That is insane. I'm telling you, that is like mind-boggling that, okay, anything that he did, you and I can do. That means if people would touch us and we're anointed by the Spirit of God, they will get healed. Because if they touched Jesus, they got healed. Right? How many people in the Bible, we can think of the stories of the people that just wanted to touch him. They thronged him. They just had to, they were pushing in so tight. They just wanted to, even if it was just his clothes, I want to touch him. Because they were getting healed. And everyone that he touched, they were getting healed. And there were people that were set free by him just speaking words, right? And he just speak words and they were getting set free. So that's you and me also. How exciting. For some of us, it's a short circuit though. It's like that can't be true. But I didn't write this book. I did not write it. You and I have to decide, do we believe this or our experience? How exciting. I love this stuff. Okay. So, from these scriptures, do you believe you should walk in these things? By the ones that I just read, do you think that God wants us to walk in the same things that Jesus walked in? Absolutely. It's his will that we walk in these things. His purpose that we would do that. Okay, so there's no doubt now whether God will back us up or not. Because he absolutely said, this is what I want you to do. This is who you are, and this is what you'll do. All right. Go with me over to Matthew 12, and we're going to read 46 through 50. We know that Jesus showed the love of the Father. Where did he stand when it came to earthly points of view? Was it family first or was it kingdom first? Was it your natural family and the people that you've been raised with your whole life? Or was it the kingdom of God? So let's just look at a few scriptures and let's see what he says, all right? So in Matthew 12, we're going to read verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. All right? His mom and his brother wanted to see him. So this is what he said. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brother are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Verse 48, but he answered and said to them, said to one who stood, who, I can't read that word, something him. It's told him. Oh, it's cut off on this other screen. Told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? That's a huge point right there, you guys. Because that's a where is your brain really at? If somebody asked you, who is your mother? You know, would your brain go to the natural or to the spiritual? Jesus is in a room full of people, and he's ministering to them, and his physical mom and family are outside, and they're trying to get in. That's like you and me and a few other people sitting in here talking, and one of our relatives shows up outside in the foyer, and they're going, hey, this relative's outside and they want to see you. How would you respond? The chances are we could say, excuse me 1 minute and I'll be right back. Hold that thought. I'll be right back. Or so-and-so, you continue, and I'll be right, just be right back in a minute. Wouldn't some of us in the natural do that? In the natural, why? Because that would show that our mind is dominantly focused on earthly things. Here's what Jesus' response was in verse 49. And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So, if according to Jesus, who does he consider blood family? Those of us that are doing the will of God. And we've seen what the will of God is for us to do. And so these are who Jesus really says, these are the ones I'm the closest with. Let's take another look at another place. And he says, Mark 3, and we'll just read verse 33 because it's pretty much the same account. So Mark 3 and verse 33, it says, "But he answered and said to them, 'Who is my mother and my brother?'" Really? "And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers.'" You got 35? "For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." Whoo, that'll rattle a few cages. That'll really rattle a few cages. All right. So, looking at the family side of it, this is going to be a real fun one. You guys will love this one. Mark 10, 29 and 30. You will absolutely love this one. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Let's see if I can beat her. Got it. Okay, I beat her. Mark 10, 29 and 30. It says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life.'" I know you guys are pretty excited right now. I know you're like ripping on the inside and just cheering along hearing this kind of stuff, aren't you? It's like, praise God. I'm one of those people, Jesus, you're talking about. I put you first above everything else in this world. You are number one to me. Amen. Isn't that right? That's his perspective for us. Let's look at a couple others. Okay. Let's look at Luke 14, 25 through 33. I'm going to just reiterate this one. Okay? Let me just go there and just go through this one pretty quickly. So it's Luke 9. Here it is. And this is Jesus. He's getting ready to go to the cross, okay? And they're starting to make provisions for him to go to the cross. And they're going through Samaria. And the people in Samaria basically reject Jesus because he had his head like flint ready to go to Jerusalem. So he was had his whole focus on getting to Jerusalem. And they're probably pushed out of shape because he's not there with them and for them, okay? He's just like passing through. And they're getting ready to do some stuff. And so his disciples were there. And in verse 53 it says, "But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." 54. "And when his disciples, James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them just as Elijah did?'" In other words, they're rejecting you, Lord. They're dismissing you. They're just pushing you away. Do you want us to just call down fire and just burn them all up? Get rid of those guys. They're against God. And this is what he said. And he turned and rebuked them to say, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So again, their focus was still in the natural and on the physical body of the man. And Jesus had his focus on the kingdom of God and what God had called him to do. Though we cannot see God in this natural, or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, does not mean that he's not with us. Right? We need to keep our attention on the fact that God is with us. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us, whether we can see him with our natural eyes or not. Let me just read a couple of verses to you so you don't have to go through them on the screen. It says, and suddenly a voice came down from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was Matthew 3:17. So wait a minute now. That means that God the Father, who's in heaven, the one that out Mount Sinai with his booming voice was speaking to the people out loud, this Father who speaks from heaven is still acutely aware of our lives. He's still totally paying attention to everything that's going on in this world. But if we are hypnotized by this world, it's very easy to think that he's not. But he is. He's totally taking care of us. He's totally causing us to be able to breathe in and breathe out. He's constantly taking care of us in everything. Another verse, Matthew 17:5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This was the Mount of Transfiguration. Again, the Father did this. In John 12:28, for the third time, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Three times we have that the Father spoke out of heaven in the New Testament, dealing with Jesus. That means in the mouth of one, two, three witnesses, God is still acutely aware of what's going on with us all, right? And even Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, I'm remembering right now, Jesus spoke out of heaven. Didn't he? Says, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right? And he heard it. Others have heard God speak and they said, oh, it's thundering. It's thundering. It really helps us to be really, truly aware of the kingdom of God, of what God's perspective is for us, and his direct participation with us in our lives. Let me do this one. Philippians chapter 2. I heard a little kid say this once. It was, flip on over to Romans. You know, flip on over to Romans. And I got to tell you, it must have been 30 years ago I heard that. And now, every time I want to say flip in my Bible, so I'll say flip or turn to, but in my brain, I just want to let you know, and let you know, I say, I always hear flip inside of me. That little kid, I'm telling you, just something happened when they said that. So we're going to flip on over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Let's look at that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, doesn't that just do something to you when you hear those words? Oh, that is just so powerful that he didn't think it was a strange thing or that he was taking anything away from God to be equal with God. And he humbled himself as a man on the earth. And in doing so, even to the point of dying for us, God exalted him to the highest position in heaven. Verse 21, I'll just read this. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Dang. Ouch is right. Ouch is right. Jesus sought the things of the Father. We are to seek the face of God. But the problem is so many of us are too busy seeking our own stuff, and that's why we're not seeing healing in our lives or seeing other people healed when we minister to them. The chances are our real treasure is not in heaven. There is a chance that our real attention is not on the things of God. The focus of who we are as an individual is not on manifesting the kingdom around us. It's just very possible. And because of that, we might not be seeing some of the results that we expect to see. Jesus did the works of the one who sent him. Look in John 10, 37 and 38. John 10, 37 and 38. Are you with me? Good. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So Jesus was telling them, listen, even if you don't believe what I'm telling you, at least believe the miracles and the healings that I'm doing that proves to you that the Father is in me. That convicts me a little bit, you guys. I'm just telling you, that convicts me just a little bit that there's more that I can be doing that I'm doing. That if my attention is in the right place, that I can get even better results than I am. How many of y'all can say that I am a son or a daughter of God? Amen. So can I. So in saying that I am a son or a daughter of God, then I need to be doing the same things that Jesus did, right? Look in Mark 16. It's the last chapter in Mark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ready? All right. It says, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Everybody starts in 15. I want to start in 14. That all right? In verse 14, it says, later he appeared to, because Jesus had just appeared to several people. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, who was delivered of the seven demons, appeared to a couple of guys on the road. And they all come back and they're telling the disciples that, hey, Jesus is risen, Jesus is risen, Jesus is risen. And all these disciples are going, what? What? Yeah, right. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there. How many of us is our heart and mind still in the natural stuff instead of on the kingdom of God as being the reality that it's here right now? So it says in verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Okay, now there's a conviction there that, listen, we may say, if it hurts, just go, ouch. We may say that we believe in healing. We may say that we believe that God is working in our lives. We may say it, but we could also very easily be the one that in our heart is wondering, but it's not real for me. It's not happening for me. It's not. And these guys even were hearing that Jesus rose from the dead, but something in their heart had them locked down that they could not accept that as a reality. And Jesus rebuked them for having a hard heart and their unbelief. So I would like to submit it to all of us that if we don't have our attention in the kingdom of God, if we don't really believe what Jesus said, we are dealing with a hard heart of unbelief, whether we want to admit it or not. Because if he says, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater things than these, and that we have been anointed with the same Holy Spirit to do the same works that Jesus did, and we saw that God wants that to happen to us, if we're not doing that, the problem is unbelief and a hard heart. We're not sensitive to those things. Our attention is on the things of this world and on the natural more. You know, how about Peter? You know, if you remember Peter, Jesus said that he was going to go and suffer and then die. And what did Peter do instantly? He says, God forbid, no way. We ain't going to let that happen to you. And Jesus rebuked Peter because Peter was walking with him all the time. But how easy is it to slip down into the natural? And he says, your attention or your mind is on the things of man and not the things of God. Just like what Jesus said about who is my mother and my brother, our attention has to be on the things of God and not on the things just of this natural world. Verse 15, and he said to them, after he rebuked them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Sozo. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Pause. He gave quite a little list there. And it's easy for us to nullify all those things, but then try to accept the last one that I didn't read. And it's amazing how some believers call themselves believers, but are they really believing? If we are actual believers and we're really believing Jesus, I'm not saying I know that you have accepted him as your Lord and that you are believing to be in the kingdom of God, and we're not even talking about that right now. We're talking about manifesting the kingdom on the earth, that part of it. And it says that we will be able to do these things. We will be saved. We'll be baptized. And when we believe, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will, what? Cast out demons. So that's the first thing he says, that when we believe Jesus and we've been baptized, we will go after the demonic realm. We will go after, not like hunt them down kind of go after, but we will stop them from robbing the people's lives around us. Because it's an enslavement. And so we as believers bring in the light of God, we will cast out demons. Because we are showing the manifest kingdom of God now on the earth. And so he's telling us, this you will do. If you actually believe me, this you will do. Not this you are able to do. Whoop, deep conviction right there. This you will do. They will speak with new tongues. Whether it is the tongue of angels or the tongues of another national language, I'm not going to get to that point. I'm going to just say this. If you believe and you're saved and baptized, you will speak in other tongues. It doesn't say you're able to speak in other tongues. It says you will. And I'm just reading what it says right here in red. Okay? And then it says, they will take up serpents. I'm not going to go there. That'll cause an absolute tilt in our minds. Let's just say this, that snakes will be afraid of you. Okay? That, like Paul, remember Paul shook that snake off? You know that? It bit him and he just shook that thing off. And that alone caused so many people to get saved in that village, right? Because he didn't die. They knew that was a poisonous snake, but he didn't die. So there's something in that, because Paul believed and he had the Spirit of God in him, like you and me. And if they drink any deadly thing, wow, that means if anybody tries to poison us or sneak up on us, we have the salvation of God watching over us, that it won't kill us. Andrew Womack has a saying that this is his favorite scripture for people that drink coffee, because he doesn't drink coffee. So he says, you got a verse to stand on, you people that love coffee. You can drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. It's a coffee verse there, Grant. Going on. If they take up serpents and drink anything, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We all love that one. We love that one. But did you notice that Jesus said that last, not first? All these other things are part of who we are. And as we wake up to the full gospel of God, the full counsel of God, the full manifestation that he wants us to manifest in the kingdom of God, and not just isolate to one thing, but to do the full counsel of God, the whole spiritual journey, we'll start seeing more things. Let me just read one more, since we're going to wind up real soon here. Since this is just riveting, you guys love it so much, go to Matthew 28. It's parlaying off of this verse right here. Again, it's the last chapter in the book of Matthew. This is really exciting stuff. Ready? If I start in verse 16 of Matthew 28, and we'll read to the end. And we already talked about this verse 16 in the other chapter. And it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. I guess there was a table on the mountain, because in Mark they were all sitting around the table. So I guess they had a cabin in the mountains or something where Jesus says, if anything happens, let's go here. Okay? So he said, and the 11 went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, from time to time, I'm going to check in on you. No. He says, and lo, I am with you always. I am is with you always. I am the existing one, the one who exists, the I am is with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So if I am is with you always, even to the end of the earth, and he's been given all authority and all power, and he said to go in his name, then we need to believe him. But it's going to take us grooming our minds, putting our attention on the things of God. Hey, if we need to fast, we need to fast, right? If we need to get in the Word more, we need to get in the Word more. If we need to get a partner and go out into the community and pray for people in the community with someone so that we're not afraid, so we have by twos, you know, he sent them out in twos. But we need to, and I'm encouraging to, in order to see more healings, you must demonstrate the power of God. You must be the one demonstrating the power of God. And so you and I, whatever we need to do, if it's more verses in our minds and reading the Bible and getting more stronger in the Bible, then we need to do that if that's where you're weak. If it's you're a little bit intimidated to meet strangers, grab somebody and go with them and ask the Holy Spirit to open up a door for you. But here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Step out in faith. Just step out in faith. Just ask the Holy Spirit to present somebody that you can pray for and that you're not going to be afraid, that it'll seem like a casual conversation or whatever, and that you can just step right into it and see if he won't give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a genuine encouragement for their life, right? Because now's a great time, because people are a little unsure of themselves right now. We're in a turbulent time, and I'm telling you, people can use a little comfort right now, a little stability, and a little manifestation of the things of God. They really can. And so as healing school people, it's not about what God can do for us, but what can we do for the kingdom of God? And in doing so, I believe that our bodies will respond. Because I believe that we're created for the anointing of God, who is love, to flow through us to other people. I had somebody here Sunday that I was praying for, and she came up here and said, you know, it is so crazy that when I pray for people, I see results, and God gives me supernatural faith for other people's lives, and I can speak faith over them, and what I say happens and comes to pass. But when it comes to my own life, it doesn't work. And she says, I don't know what to do about it. And I said the easiest thing to her. I said this, the gifts of the Spirit are not for yourself. They are for other people. That's why we need to connect with one another, that my giftings can be imparted to you and to the world, and that your giftings can be imparted to us and the world. And in doing so, we can cover all the bases, right? Because it's easier to have faith for somebody else than it is for yourself sometimes. Are you with me? Jesus is Lord. The kingdom of God is upon us, and he really wants us. He really, really, really wants us to manifest the kingdom of God. He really does. So I just encourage y'all that, you know, whatever you need to do, do it. Amen? I love you guys. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of God, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And you even said that you will be with us until the end of the age. We believe you. Father God, we believe that you speak from heaven, that you are absolutely engaged in what's going on this planet. But it's through the hardness of our hearts, the unbelief that we carry, that we are desensitized to you and what you're doing around us. So, Father, I ask you to open up our hearts, our eyes, and our ears so that we can see you working around us, so that you can work through us in the world around us, that we can join you where you're working in the lives around us, and that others can join us in the place that you are manifesting through us to others in the world. Lord, open our eyes that we can see you wherever we go, Lord. And Father, that we would wholeheartedly put you first, that our treasure would be you yourself, not what you can give us. We're thankful for all that you have given us and all that you're preparing to install in us later, Lord. But Father, for now, I just thank you for being with us. And I ask that we can show you the same love and attention that you show us. In Jesus' name, amen.